Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is David Liebrich, Commissioner of the Financial Management Service within the U.S. Department of the Treasury. So, Dave, I have the pleasure of speaking to a lot of my guests about collaboration and partnerships among agencies and the private sector to, more importantly, achieve mission results for each agency. Given your unique government-wide mission, I was wondering if you could elaborate on your use of partnerships and collaboration. How are you leveraging them to meet operational excellence?
Once again, one of our critical success factors is our ability to collaborate. And I think that's as the budget situation, my own forecast would be is that agencies are going to be looking more and more for centralized services because of budget pressures along the way. And that may not be appropriate for every service, but there are going to be lots of them that lend themselves to more centralized services. And I would, once again, talk about the debt collection and things like electronic invoicing and payments more generally. So for us, it's going to be really important that we understand what those needs of the agency are and that we can deliver services that meet those needs. And we have a number of ways right now within the organization that we do outreach. Now, Wanda, my deputy, and I have gone out and met with most of the CFOs of the major agencies to talk with them about what we're doing at FMS and get a better appreciation for what they're doing. And we're going to do a second round of those in the coming months. And that's been very helpful to us to understand, how FMS interacts and the like. I think one of the things that we're looking at now is that as we're making some of the systems changes to some of our centralized systems, we know it has an impact on the agencies. Historically, what we have done is said, we're going to make a change. You figure it out. I think we can probably do a better job of thinking through of are there implementation teams that FMS can put together to help agencies make the changes. What we find most often is when we talk about the reasons why we're doing something, the agencies are in total agreement. I think, this is a good objective. You're on the right path. Where we get hung up, though, is what's going to take to implement those changes. And so we're finding that more of our challenges are technology challenges than they are philosophical or principle challenges. And so I think we at FMS need to take a harder look at how are we helping with the technology issues and easing implementation rather than only looking at it from a policy standpoint along the way? So we're taking a harder look and we're going out and reaching out to some of the agencies to hear a little bit more about how we could better configure ourselves to be helpful. We have a number of bodies within FMS. We have a customer advisory board that each of our regional financial centers have in which they bring the customers in and talk to them. We have a customer survey that I'm very pleased in the past year we've changed in the sense that we used to, every business area would send a customer satisfaction survey out to the customer. In this past year, we've now combined that and ask some overarching questions about their views of FMS, but then only allowing them to answer questions about the services they're using. So if they're using payment services, we're asking very specific questions about payment services. And being able to do that electronically, I think, is a much better approach than trying to use paper and pencil. And we're allowing a section for comments. So last year, we got some really rich comments about, how FMS was doing and how we could do a better job of serving. On the debt side, we're doing a much better job, I think, of reaching out and trying to understand the challenges that agencies have. On the debt collection side, the reason I mentioned about the centralized services is that FMS is really the only organization that has as part of its mission debt collection. Mm-hmm. Collection is a secondary mission for most agencies and sometimes doesn't get as much attention or focus as it may in a centralized way. And I think that our experience and expertise in that may be useful down the road in really helping. We also host a number of conferences. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is thinking through of our conference structure in more of a pyramid style, which is, do you have kind of overarching conferences that you have to talk about the business lines? And then you have different sessions that are more focused toward people actually doing work. You have conferences that have to do with thought processes and the thinking part, but then you also need to have conferences that are really about what's it mean to execute along the way. So we're thinking about trying to reconfigure ourselves a little bit more that way to be more effective in our outreach and when we're getting people to come in and why they're coming in to see us at different conferences.
Well, Dave, you've done a wonderful job of kind of melding together the strategic vision and the operational changes or impact that strategic vision will have. And you just mentioned the fact that you need the right people in the right place at the right time doing the right job. So I want to talk about what are you doing to ensure a well-trained workforce is there to meet the both the challenges of today and the opportunities of tomorrow.
And I think this will be a challenge for most government agencies in the coming years where you see so much talk about the age and retirement that's likely to come in the next 5 or 10 years. And I say 5 or 10 years because I think predictions about retirement oftentimes are not as accurate in the near term. But I do think it's inevitable. And there are very clearly different generational issues about the workplace. There's no doubt that baby boomers think about the workplace in a different way than Generation X and Y think about the workplace. And I think, you know, we're mistaken if we're not really thinking through, is our workplace meeting the needs of the future generation of the workforce? And so, for example, we at FMS are really thinking a lot about collaboration tools, which are much more familiar to most of the new people coming into the workplace than those of us who may have been it for a while. But we at FMS, we really do start on two areas. We really do, especially with our managers, and this is something that was done before I came to FMS. We have training programs for anyone from a GS1 up to a CDP program for someone interested in managing. Mm-hmm. So if you're a GS1, you come into FMS and you're thinking, I may someday want to be a manager. We have a training program for you, which sort of say, this is what it would take to be a manager in this organization. Here's the kinds of things you need to know. We require any new manager to take 7 core courses that say, you know, these are 7 things that we think are really important. You need to take these over a 2-year period as a manager so that you know what your responsibilities are for a manager. And this current year, we're having all of our managers go through refresher training on those 7 core competencies by the end of the year so that they have a good sense, they're reminded periodically about what those obligations are. We also guarantee our employees 40 hours of training. And as the budget is going along, that is an increasingly difficult thing. But we remain committed to saying, you know, look, we need to provide training opportunities to our workforce so that they have the ability to learn new skills. I would also say that as any organization that's going through significant amounts of change, one of the primary drivers of that workforce is going to be, do they feel that they have the skills to be successful in the future environment? And as a manager, if you're ignoring that, you're ignoring a very significant motivator for your employees. Mm-hmm. Job security is clearly a motivator, but competency is also, and capability is also a significant motivator. So if you're doing something one way today and you're going to be doing it differently tomorrow, if you're not thinking hard about, have you given that employee transitional skills, you're going to have a harder time being successful in your change along the way. So we've been really trying to make sure that we remain true to that commitment to training for the workforce as we're going through some of the really significant changes that we're going through. And finally, which I would say with respect to for FMS, it's been very important. We have close to 100 certified project managers in FMS. So we've really invested a lot in making sure that we have good project managers who understand what it means to run a project. And you don't have the major modernization efforts underway that we have within our organization unless you have good project managers. In fact, as when I first came to FMS, one of the things that struck me was, how do we do all these things at once, given that they're so significant and each in their own right are significant? Well, it turns out that we have a really strong tradition of project management, which allows us to do things in a fairly systematic way.
So I'd like to transition to the future. And what are the major opportunities and challenges your organization will encounter in the future? And more importantly, how do you think you'll adapt or evolve to meet those challenges?
I think that one of the major, I would say two things. One is in immediate, and that is the ability to manage an environment of change. We have very much thought about that change has to be thought of strategically as a strategic discipline. It can't be done as an afterthought. So that when you're doing major initiatives within the organization, you have to have a very systematic way of looking at change. And in fact, there was a recent study that said that, you know, why programs fail are not the usual suspects. It's not about inadequate resources or poor planning or bad ideas or unforeseen external events. They actually account for only about a third of the failures when you look at the research on this. What you find is 70% of them are resulting from poor organizational health, you know, which is usually manifested in negative employee attitudes and unproductive management behavior. So when we look at this, we've thought to ourselves, we really do need to understand the change process within the organization. And that, I think, is really focusing on, are you including your employees in decisions? Are you communicating with them well? Are you addressing their needs, training needs? Are you ensuring that as you're making changes that the processes for selection are fair? You know, is it a fair process? And then I think also, as well, employees look to see, do you have a plan? You know, do you have a direction that you're leading the organization? And we've really settled on a model by Linda Ackerman Anderson that works for us because it's almost a project management model, which sort of says if you're going to go through a change in effort, you need to understand what kind of change. Is it developmental change? Is it transformational change? Is it transitional change? And based on that, you need to design change programs to fit that, what your organization is going through. So if you're going through a really transformational change, which is going to significantly change what you're doing within your organization, you're going to have to pay a lot more attention than if you're doing developmental change, which may be more of process improvement. Mm-hmm. You know, developmental change is, can we produce this faster? That's important, and you need to have change processes around that, but it's not as significant as it would be if you're fundamentally changing the business that you're operating under. So for us, I think, you know, really spending time around that question is a huge challenge. I would say secondly, the opportunities for FMS in a going forward is we know that the use of data is going to become increasingly important, and our ability to produce useful data will become increasingly important as we're going forward. And I think that, you know, I see us becoming more analytical as time goes on, rather than more production-oriented.
So, Dave, what advice would you give to a person considering a career in public service?
Oh, that's easy. When I joined public service, and I would just say it again, is that if you can make a difference. And I think that, you know, there's also been all sorts of studies about, you know, what motivates people in the workplace. Interesting enough, money is only one thing that motivates people. But I think that you find that most people, whether they be in a startup corporation or whether they be in any entity, that if they feel as though their job has meaning and purpose, they're much more productive and they're much more happy in their jobs. That's pretty easy to do in the federal government. You know, as a career in it, you have ample opportunity, enormous opportunities to make a difference. You know, we take stewardship at FMS and our responsibilities to the taxpayer very seriously, and that permeates everything that we do. When we look at, you know, when we're serving the public, when we look at whether we're giving the public good value, we feel very keenly about that and adding value and doing something that's meaningful. And I would just say I know from my own career, there just were so many opportunities to get involved in interesting things, you know. And if anyone had said to me when I was a freshman in college or a senior in high school, you know, would you be running a financial management service? I would tell you absolutely not. Would I tell you that I really like my job and that I really feel fortunate to be doing the job that I do? I'd say absolutely yes, because I can just see the difference that we can make and the value that we can provide. And that's available throughout government. I mean, it's a unique thing. It really is a unique thing. And so I'm always very encouraging of people to serve, to do public service, and think it's an honorable and important thing to do. And it is a way of serving your country. And the needs are probably as great as ever in the public service right now, because the challenges are becoming significantly higher in some ways because of constrained budgets. That doesn't mean that demand for public service has gone down. Mm-hmm. The things that we do and produce are as important as ever.
Well, Dave, I want to thank you for your time today. I know you have a busy schedule, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with David Liebrich, Commissioner of the Financial Management Service within the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.